Amen. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love your Lord God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength. This was how Jesus responded to a question posed by one of the religious authorities. One of the teachers of the law wanted to know, what's the most important commandment? And Jesus responded with one that was well known, the Shema. We talked about last week how Shema is the Hebrew word for hear, an active word which means to listen, to obey. And so Jesus says that important commandment is for us to love God with all of our heart, with all of our emotions, to love God with all of our soul, our innermost being, loving God all the way down to our core. To love God with our mind, our questions, our meditations, growing in our faith, and then to love God with all of our strength, our willpower, being committed to loving God. And then he adds another commandment. We're going to talk about that today. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. Last week we discussed how religious folks, they like to try to summarize the law. There are 613 commandments. You know, I could relate, and I imagine y'all too, with this same question. 613 are, it's a lot of commandments, a lot of law to follow. And if I was in that situation, I'd probably ask the same thing. Jesus, I'm good. I'm going to follow all 613. But, you know, if I get busy one day, what's maybe the most important one or two that I could follow? And there, it's one of those situations where you hold your breath because you're not sure what commandment Jesus is going to tell you. Be careful what you ask for. He could say something like, sell all your possessions, give it to the poor. Nobody wants to do that. Or even worse, he could add a new one, no chocolate or even no cheer wine. Give them up. That's impossible to follow. Then he says, love God and then love your neighbor as you love yourself. Whew, let out a sigh of relief. Those are easy, right? We all love God. We can obey that commandment. And then to love your neighbor as you love yourself. I don't know about y'all, but I've got an awesome neighbor, Neil. When Neil moved in several years ago, he said, you know, some folks have hobbies where they like to go out and hunt. Others like to go out and fish. That's how they spend their money. My hobby is collecting tools. And you can borrow any of those tools at any time, in which I took him up on. I've borrowed an aerator. I've borrowed a pressure washer. I've borrowed like a tamping rod. And I've all these things. There's even one time where Neil came by and he said, I'm spraying my yard for fire ants. Would you like me to do yours? Please and thank you. We were finishing up, coming in late one night. It was after dark, and it was after our community mission day a few years ago, and I noticed our yard had been mowed. It was Neil. He said later on, I know y'all are busy helping people today, so I thought I would mow your yard. So we can easily follow those commands. We can love God. We can love our neighbors like Neil who are good to us. But before we finish up and pat ourselves on the back for checking off these two commands, we need to look at exactly who our neighbor is. In Luke's gospel, one of the religious authorities wanted a little bit of a clarification and asked Jesus, well, who is my neighbor? And he shares with them that parable of the Good Samaritan. Jesus tells us exactly who our neighbor is. The Samaritan, which is that person who is different from us. Could be a different religion, could be a different faith. Our neighbor is that person that we would least expect it to be. Someone that we just don't even really like. Someone from the other side of town, across the tracks, might be poor, whoever it might be, it's just not who we would expect it to be. Before it's easy to love God and to love our neighbors like Neil, but now Jesus challenges us with asking us to love people that are hard to love or even like at times. Then to make matters worse, Jesus adds to that command, love your neighbor as you love yourself. Do you love yourself? It's a question that I think we sometimes struggle with. I want us to take a moment just to think back to those teenage years. Teenagers, y'all can just think about how you felt today or yesterday. Those times where we struggle with our self-esteem and our self-image, when how people viewed us. I remember being referred to as just a skinny runner. Of course, I'm still a skinny runner most days. I prefer the word wiry, like Deputy Fife. He was wiry. Acne you dealt with, you're self-conscious. I don't know how many tubes of Clearasil I try to use to cover those things up. But the worst for me was just that time when my voice was cracking. And back in the day when your friends would call you up on the telephone, I answered the phone one day and I said, "Hello?" And my friend, he laughed for what must have been over a minute. He forgot why he even called, and I think I eventually just hung up on him. But you know, even as adults, we struggle with our self-image, our self-esteem. We worry too much about what others think about us. A few weeks ago, I changed my shirt 3 times because you got to find the right shirt that matches with your pants, and you can't go out in public like that. What are others going to think or say? We find ourselves saying, "Well, if only I had this, or if I was this way or that way," then we would find ourselves feeling better about ourselves. We would love ourselves more. We'd have more self-esteem, self-confidence. But the issue lies in how we view others' opinions on us. We can't really love ourselves till we realize that our image is based on who created us. We are created in God's image. We are created by God, which means we are created special. We are created beautiful. We are created wonderful, unique, and different. We're going to be different than everyone else, but that's how God created us. And we should celebrate that. We should be thankful for it and worry more about how God sees us and loves us than others. To love ourselves also means that we need to take care of ourselves. You've heard me say before, I'm going to pass this words of wisdom that my pastor shared with me. If you don't take care of yourself, then no one else is going to. We need to take time to make sure we're taking care of ourselves. That means we are loving ourselves the way we're supposed to. We find ourselves being busy. We go, and we run out of time, and we don't end up making time for ourselves. In ministry, it's easy to stay busy because there seems like there's always an important need. It's critical even, and so we find ourselves doing more. My friend that was also named Neil, he was a pastor. He was in the Doctorate of Ministry program with me when we were going through Campbell. In fact, he's going to be leading our Koinonia retreat later in May. He shared one time that he had to basically take his sermon one Sunday and just put it aside and share his testimony to his church because he found himself not practicing what he preached. He was pastoring a church. He was also teaching as an associate professor at Mount Olive College. He found himself signing up and being asked to be on a special board with their association. In addition to all that, he was a full-time student with his doctorate program. Needless to say, he had too much on his plate. And so he shared with his church that he needed to take a step back, that he needed to say no to a few things, that he needed to take some time for himself, otherwise that he was not being as healthy as he should be. And even in ministry, we can do too much. I tell folks all the time that no is an okay answer. Sometimes we need to subtract. We put too much on our plate in order to take care of ourselves. To love ourselves means that we need to reflect, refuel, and then reconnect with God. I've never listened to one of those TED Talks. Anybody ever listened to TED Talks before? Melanie sent me one the other day, and I was listening to it yesterday as I was traveling back from visiting with my dad and my grandma in Salisbury. And it was about a psychologist who was basically burnt out. And he thought that he was burnt out on his profession of trying to help people and dealing with all their problems and issues. But what he realized was causing him problems was that he found himself constantly thinking about all of his stressors that he found in work, in his home, in his life. And that even when he was away from work, he was still thinking about those things that would make him worry. And so he used the term, I forget the psychology term, but he related it to, somehow it's related to how cows digest their food. I know we've got several farmers here who could come up and tell us all the details of that, but basically they'll eat the grass and they'll swallow it in their bellies and then they'll regurgitate it back up, chew it again, and then swallow it back down. And this is an illustration I'll never forget. That's what he said that he was doing, and sometimes we find ourselves doing, is that when we worry about things and that we're done with work or whatever that's causing us to stress, we find ourselves bringing it back up and thinking about it more and more. And so that to be healthy, to take care of ourselves, we need to cut off those things that are causing us to remember the stress. One simple thing that he did was just take his phone and put it to the side, or even just turn off your notifications for your email so that he wouldn't be constantly reminded of something of work or stressor or whatever it might be. So to love ourselves, to take care of ourselves, means that we need to be aware of those things that cause us stress, those items that cause us to worry, and do what we can to either put aside our telephone or just make sure that we are doing what we need to do to not think about them so much, to not constantly be surrounded by them. I've had someone share with me, before you go to bed at night, think about three things that made you happy. Remember those three things, and that the next day you're more than likely to try to do those same three things again. So instead of worrying and focusing on the negative, but to focus on those positive things. Taking time to reflect, to listening to our bodies. What is our bodies telling us? If we are feeling stressed out, the more likely we're probably stressed out. If we're snapping at our spouses or our family or whatever, then we've got too much stress going on and we need to take a break to reflect. We need to take time to refuel. What do you do to recharge your batteries? A skinny runner, I like to get out and run. I've even been told before, Melanie will say, Matt, you just need to go run. And I will usually go run. And sometimes if you're an introvert, if not exercising or getting out and hiking, it could be that you just need to close the door, to take time by yourself to recharge your batteries. Whatever it is that helps you to refuel, make sure you're taking time each day to do that, to reflect, to refuel, and then finally to reconnect with God. I learned this exercise when we were going through one of our Bible study resources, Celebration of Discipline with Richard Foster. He's talking about meditation. And it's just one way that we're able to connect with God. It's a form of prayer, spiritual meditation. So what I'd like for us to do is just to take a moment to do that. I'm going to ask everybody to close your eyes. And I'll ask you to place your palms on your knees with your palms up, symbolizing being able to receive God's Spirit. And as you take a deep breath in, focusing on breathing in God's Spirit, focusing on the positive things and the goodness from God. And as you exhale, you're exhaling all those things that are stressing you out, all those worries, you're giving them to God. We inhale the Spirit of God and God's goodness. We exhale those things that stress us out and worry. Inhale is God's Spirit, and we exhale the worries. All right, y'all can continue in prayer with your eyes closed, or you can open them back up again, but just a simple breathing exercise that can help us to reconnect with God, just something that's different than we may typically do that can help us to relieve some of the stress that we find ourselves in. So as we go to love our others, as we love ourselves, then we need to make sure we're taking time to reflect, to refuel, and reconnect with God. So we love God, we love others, and we love ourselves. The writer of 1 John tells us, he puts it this way. He says, we've passed from death to life when we love others. So that we're living life like we're supposed to when we're loving others. And then in 1 John 3:16 tells us that love is this, that Christ laid his life down for us, and that we too should lay our life down for others. Not just with encouraging words, but with our actions and how we live out our life. And so it reminds us as a call, not only in our love for God, but we are to love others as we love ourselves. In a moment, we're going to be invited to take part in the table of Christ, where we're going to observe communion. And I want us to focus on this image here. We love God and we follow that commandment to love God, but we're not following it the way that Jesus told us to if we're not making sure that we are sharing that love for God with others, with that neighbor who is a little bit different from us. But then we're also not doing what Jesus told us to do if we don't take time to love ourselves. What I'm getting at, these are all connected. We can't be who God created us to be if we don't take care of ourselves, if we don't love ourselves. He wants us to love others.